You're listening to The Burrow on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory at the University of British Columbia. My name's Andy Resto. This program's on every Monday from 3 until 4. We're going to start off this week with a new one from Colin Stetson. Just put out a new record called All This I Do for Glory. The song is called Spindrift.
I'm
It was Spindrift from the new Colin Stetson record called All This I Do for Glory. Here on the Burrow, CHR 101.9 FM. This week on the show, we're going to hear an interview that I recorded last week with a woman named Kim Gaynor, and she is the director of the Vancouver Opera Festival, which just started last Friday and runs until May 19th, with various shows at the Queen Elizabeth Theater and elsewhere. It's the first annual Vancouver Opera Festival. And lots of very interesting performances. I'm looking forward to seeing a couple of things. Anyhow, most of the details, the interview is just going to cover the basic details of the festival and the performances that you can see there. And it is currently happening. We're right in the middle of it. And so outside of that interview, the rest of the structure of this episode, I don't have a huge base of classical opera knowledge. So we're going to hear one or two clips from one of the performances that's happening at the festival. Other than that, it's just going to be kind of operatic, what I would personally consider operatic music in one way or another, including that opener from Colin Stetson. And so I hope that doesn't end up being insulting to anybody's tastes. However, before playing the interview, I'm going to go into an old recording from 1952 of a performance of a song called Marita's Lied from Die Tote Stadt, The Dead City, which is an old opera by Korngold, I believe his name is. Anyhow, I had this recommended to me as a beautiful opera piece. I was looking to maybe make a full episode of opera songs. Didn't pull that together, but got at least this one recommendation. So we're going to hear that to get us into the right mode. Then it's going to go into my interview with Kim Gaynor, the director of the Vancouver Opera Festival, and then come back, reel it in, and listen to borough-themed operatic music. You're tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM. This program is called The Borough, and this is a performance by Elizabeth Schwarzkopf.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Do you love the idea of empowering female youth through music creation and performance? Girls Rock Camp Vancouver is a 100% volunteer-driven nonprofit that promotes self-esteem and builds technical skills in female and non-binary youth ages 8 to 18. Help support this initiative by donating, volunteering, or attending their end-of-camp performance July 15th at the Rio Theater. If you're interested in being a camper or volunteering with Girls Rock Camp, visit girlsrockcampvancouver.ca.
So you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This program is called The Burrow on every Monday at 3 p.m. And this week I'm sitting and chatting, or not sitting with, but chatting on the phone with the director of the Vancouver Opera Festival, Kim Gaynor. How are you doing?
Very good, thank you. Good.
And I pronounced that all correctly.
Kim Gaynor, yeah.
Gaynor, okay, great.
General director.
Yes. Perfect. So do you want to tell us what exactly that means? This is the first year of the festival, yeah? The inaugural.
That's right. Year. It's the first festival this year. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what does it entail, you being the general director?
So what we've tried to create is a kind of multidisciplinary celebration of the lyric arts, and that's why the programming is quite varied. And we've invited, we're not only are we producing three new productions of classic operas, but we are also, we've also invited Tanya Tagak, Uta Lemper, and artists which are not classical opera artists to perform. And we've even invited visual artist Paul Wong to create an installation piece for us, which will open tonight on the Queen Elizabeth Plaza.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, that's, I guess, what struck me about the festival is like the interdisciplinary and multidisciplinary kind of approach to it. What was it that inspired that? Is it something in particular like yourself and maybe some of the other organizers had in mind for a particular reason? Or
well, in fact, the festival has been in the planning for about 2 years now.
Okay.
I've only been general director since last September, so most of the programming I inherited from my predecessor. But I must say it's a really good mix, which could have an appeal for everything from families to young people, right to the real hardcore opera lover. So mm-hmm. it's quite a good balance.
Yeah, yeah, great. So do you want to chat first about the classical opera? So there are three of them. They're doing, there's Othello, Marriage of Figaro, and a contemporary one called Dead Man Walking. Do you want to briefly go over those? And I guess in particular, the one for me that's new is Dead Man Walking and maybe where that came from. Yeah.
Sure. Well, Dead Man Walking, some people may remember the film of the same name. And in fact, there was a book before the film. It's obviously, it's a story about an inmate who's on death row in the United States and who meets a nun, a Roman Catholic nun called Sister Helen Prejean, who becomes his spiritual advisor and actually accompanies him to the death chamber. And it sounds rather grim, but in fact, it's really a story about redemption and hope and how, and it raises lots of questions about how we find justice in a civilized society. And it is based on a true story. So, in fact, Sister Helen Prejean, the nun at the origin of the story, will be here with us in Vancouver for 3 days, as will the composer of the opera, Jake Heggie. So there's opportunities to meet them and to interact and hear them speak on panels on just this subject, which will be very interesting.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, so outside of the performances, they're going to be panel discussions. Is that for, is there a pass that gets you into all of that stuff, or?
Well, every opera will have a pre-opera talk. That's something we always do. But in addition to that, we've put up a tent on the Queen Elizabeth Plaza, and in the tent all day, well, from about midday most days, there will be discussions and workshops. that are free, and people can come and listen to them. And there are some other workshops which people might be interested in, like that are creative, like how to learn stage fighting, how to learn throat okay. singing. And some of those require signing up and a modest fee, but a lot of the activities going on are free.
Great. Cool. And then, yes, then the other two operas are classical operas, Othello and Marriage of Figaro. Any interesting nuggets about these two or about maybe the performers who are putting them on?
Sure. Well, Othello is a classic, but it's not performed very often because the lead role of Othello is actually one of the most difficult roles in the whole tenor repertoire. And we have a wonderful, wonderful tenor, Antonello Palombi, singing this role. And it's so anyone, you know, if you know the Shakespeare story or even if you don't, it's worth coming to the opera to hear all these big emotions sung. We have a huge orchestra, 65 pieces in the pit. A lot of sound. Visually, it's very effective as well. So if you like big, grand opera, Othello is definitely the one to choose. Mm-hmm. A Marriage of Figaro, on the other hand, is a Mozart opera with a smaller orchestra in the smaller Playhouse Theater. So a more intimate experience. You're much closer to the singers. We have a younger cast. In fact, we have two casts because we're doing so many performances. Okay. And the interesting nugget there also is that although it's set in pretty much the period of time that Mozart wrote the opera, we've hired a contemporary fashion designer, in fact, Sid Nigam, who has a huge reputation in the fashion world, to do all the costumes, and he's done a fantastic job. They're really interesting, kind of a mix of Baroque but with a contemporary twist.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I'm just looking at the image that's online right now, and it looks like it's a dress made of all of, like, flowers or something. That's all tied together.
Yeah. There's one that looks like that, yeah.
Mm, cool. Great. And then there's the kind of, I don't want to use the word periphery, but the kind of more experimental performances. There's the, what seems to me when I was reading about it is an audiovisual one from Paul Wong that's tonight, as you said. Is that correct, that there's a video along with the performance? Yeah.
So, no, it's not actually. It's a standalone installation, which opens tonight on the Queen Elizabeth Plaza. And, in fact, what it is we've commissioned him. He took four opera singers into his studio and videoed them. And then he takes, this is the way he works, he takes the videos and he transforms them into a multimedia kind of, I don't know how to describe it. It's very bright and colorful. And we're going to be projecting it on four screens that are about 12 feet high on the Queen Elizabeth Plaza. And even passerbys can see it because it'll be on from dusk until late at night, every night. And you just have to walk by and see it. But there's a soundtrack that goes with it. What he's done with the singers' voices is really interesting. So you can stand in the middle and kind of look at all the four screens and listen to this interesting soundtrack. And again, it's all free. Just come along and look. Listen.
Yeah, very cool. Okay. Yeah, I saw the like minute and a half preview video that they had up, and it seems very bizarre, but also like great.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that. And
what
then
we've also designed is for the Queen Elizabeth Plaza, because we wanted to make it a kind of open, inviting place where people want to hang out. So we've had an architect designer named Scott Cohen make us some big, oversized pieces of furniture called red carpet benches, and people can sit on them, lie on them, listen to music, text, whatever they want to do. It's just come out and watch the Paul Wong at the same time if you want, or wander around into the tent. And the other thing is we have an opera bar that we've set up with really sort of funky stuff from our props and costumes shop. And it's right on the Queen Elizabeth Plaza as well, and it'll be for happy hour from 4 to 7, and then after the performances as well. So if you just want to have a drink, come and check it out.
Nice. Great. And then the other two performances, Tanya Tagok is going to play at the Vogue on May 12th.
Yep.
Should be great. She's always had an interesting video aesthetic along with her really wild throat singing, so that's exciting.
That one's, you know, almost sold out, so if people want to go, they've got to hurry.
And then Ute Lemper, or I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Ute Lemper,
a performer who does a lot of, it's fair to say, like World War II era songs?
Yeah, cabaret.
Cabaret, yeah. in a variety of languages. How did that work out as far as reaching out to her? I saw her play here a couple years ago. She had come to Vancouver to perform, but it's been a while.
Well, she has her following, you know, mm-hmm. people who are interested in this cabaret, and this is a particular show that she hasn't brought here to Vancouver before. We're doing the production with the Goethe Institute, so reaching out into the community, also the local kind of German-speaking community as well. So people that want to have that kind of a cabaret Berlin-style experience, that's the concert to go and see.
Mm-hmm. Great. So, yeah, overall... seems great. I hope it goes really well, being the first year that it's happening here. Are there already plans, like looking ahead to, like, if you want to do this next year and what that might look like?
Sure. I mean, the main operas in next year's festival have already been decided.
Okay.
But we've, you know, they're not really public yet because we're still working on can we get the right singers and so on.
Right.
And all the other programming, we're working on it because it takes about a year and a half to plan an opera festival.
Mm-hmm. And then I guess outside of the festival, for people, like you said, like this is a festival that seems to be able to appeal not just to like opera goers, regular opera goers or attendees, but also people who aren't as familiar and are into kind of a variety of arts, I guess. But for those people who start to go and get into it, what else, what are the kind of communities, I guess, in Vancouver that are putting on these shows and doing these on a regular basis?
Sorry, the question is, what are the communities that are doing
Yeah, like, are you involved with other, like, organizations who throughout the year are putting on these kind of shows or anything of that nature?
Well, I mean, there are other people who put on concerts that have singers and classical singers, like the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra mm-hmm. and Early Music Vancouver. We're the only ones that do big main stage productions of opera.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who do smaller operas and chamber opera as well, but we're the ones who have the facility to do the big main stage operas in Vancouver. And if people, I mean, I often hear people say, you know, I can't go to opera because I don't know anything. And that's just a total myth because mm-hmm. you don't need to know anything to enjoy an opera. You just have to come with open ears.
Right.
And if somebody was coming for the first time, I would say, you know, a younger person, I would say try Dead Man Walking.
Mm-hmm.
The music is really easy to listen to. There's lots of references to music they might have heard before. And it's a contemporary story, which they can sit around and debate also. Brings up a lot of contentious issues that
right.
need to be debated. And if you want just a lighter entertainment and you want to come with a child or even a grandchild, you should come to The Marriage of Figaro because it's a classic. Mozart's music is extraordinary. He's a genius. And you'll really enjoy it. So you don't need to know anything. You don't need to dress up. You just need to come.
Mm-hmm. Great. Awesome. So thanks so much, Kim, for taking the time to chat
You're
with
welcome.
Us. And any other final comments? Oh, I guess, how can people find tickets?
Okay, so the best way is to go to our website, vancouveropera.ca. You'll find all the information on the website. You can buy online or you can buy over the phone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And... anybody is welcome to go to the Queenie Plaza and hang out.
The Queenie Plaza, where you can also buy tickets. You can also buy tickets the night of the performance. You don't have to buy them in advance if you don't want to.
Perfect. Okay, great. Thanks so much, Kim, for taking the time.
Okay.
And good luck
right,
with everything.
Thanks so much.
Yep.
Bye.
Thank you. Hey there. This ad caught your attention. It also caught the attention of the coolest people from Squamish to Bellingham, music fans, students, and members of various cultural communities. If you want your ad to do the same, advertise with CITR and Discorder. If you've got a rad new ad or just something you want to share, whether in print, on air, or online, promote your wares, services, or events with us. Contact us at advertising@citr.ca or call 604-822-4342. Visit citr.ca for rates, information, and packages. This is the end of our ad, and if you're still here, we must be doing something right.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
You're tuned in to The Burrow on CITR 101.9. FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory at the University of British Columbia. And if you've been tuned in, you just heard a interview with Kim Gaynor, who is the director of the Vancouver Opera Festival, happening now. We are right in the middle of it. Started last Friday, the 28th, goes until May 13th. For all the details, if you missed the interview, you can go to vancouveropera.ca for the details on times of performances and whatnot, prices, everything. We just heard before the break overture from the Marriage of Figaro, and that is one of the three classical opera pieces that they are putting on as part of the festival this year. The other two being Othello and one called Dead Man Walking, which is based on a movie that starred Sean Penn back in the early 90s, I think. Anyhow, about someone on death row who meets a nun, becomes his spiritual advisor. So we're going to hear a song from that opera, a title track of sorts called Dead Man Walking. And following that, for the last third of the show, we're going to have a couple of, I don't know, operatic music as deemed so by myself. Okay, so this is from Dead Man Walking here on The Burrow, CITR 101.9 FM.
Dead Man Walking!
That was Piel, P-I-E-L, off the new Arca album. Not typically, haven't traditionally been a big fan of Arca as a producer, but really like this new album that they put out, self-titled. And eschews the traditional dance electronic structure that they normally play with, and has a lot of those vocals throughout the album, which I really like. And yes, I consider it operatic. That's been the theme of the show. You're listening to The Burrow on CITR 101.9 FM. If you missed any of it, I had an interview with the director of the Vancouver Opera Festival earlier, and we were hearing some selections from performances that are happening during the festival, happening until May 13th. In that last set, other than Arca, before that we heard Eileen Bryant, who's a local artist. That was Spring Improvisation. Eileen Bryant, I've seen her perform before and do Jacques Brel songs, which is in a similar mode to one of the performers in the Vancouver Opera Festival. Ute Lemper is one of the performances, and she does a bunch of Bertolt Brecht songs and Edith Piaf songs and others. So I figured because of what I've seen Eileen Bryant perform in the past, that there's a bit of a connection there. To close out the show this week, we're going to hear a couple more. The first one being along the lines of some of the stuff we just heard. Juliana Barwick had a record come out last year called Will. We're going to hear a song called Saint Apollonia off of that. And then to close the show, a long piano piece by a Japanese-Canadian pianist named Yoko Hirota, who just put out an album called Umbra Septentrionis, and it's very good. One of her original pieces from this we're going to listen to called Leaps of Faith. All right, so it's Juliana Barwick and Yoko Hirota to close out the show. Thank you all for listening. Thanks to Kim Gaynor for the interview. And go online, vancouveropera.ca, and check out what's happening at the festival this year. Thank you.